Good morning. Welcome to Tiernan's podcast, episode number 3. It's currently March. March the 13th. And this is the third podcast I'm recording, as usual, or as the last 3. I am recording them on my way home from work, in my car, using the iPhone, iTalk, and a set of standard Apple headphones. All the usual noises are going on, car beeping at me, telling me it's got a brake light missing, car locking itself, all the usual stuff. So, I'm on my way home from work. It's currently 5 past 7 in the evening. It's a Tuesday evening. And today's topic that I want to talk about is something I wrote a while back. And it's the idea of the 3 screens on the cloud. And Microsoft call it 3 screens in the cloud. My article, which is up on my website, up on my blog, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. My article, I talked about why is it just 3 screens, and the reason why I've asked is why is it just 3 screens is because there's an awful lot more screens in our life that we really should have, we should be able to use, and I think that we should be able to talk to, and the cloud should be able to talk to. And these screens that I was thinking of was, you would have your standard Windows PC, could be a Mac, doesn't really matter, your PC. You would have your standard PC. You would have a secondary PC. Laptop. Tablet. Convertible, maybe. I'll go back. Because the 3 screens in the cloud idea centers around the idea of, well, it centers around the cloud. But the 3 screens that Microsoft envision you having are your Windows PC, laptop or desktop, doesn't really matter. Your Windows phone, or your phone, full stop, now that Microsoft are writing apps for the iPod, or the iPhone, the iPad as well. You can get OneNote on there. Email Exchange works on it, and there's various sort of bits and pieces you can talk to a SharePoint site using, going directly to the SharePoint page in Safari. So it's pretty much any phone. Well, I'm assuming Microsoft would prefer you to have a Windows phone. In full disclosure here, I am an ex-Microsoft employee, so I don't actually know any of their future plans. This is all speculation. I've left over a year ago at this stage. So, as I said, I don't know any particular plans, or this is just me coming up with weird and wonderful ideas. But anyway, you have the idea of, as I said, you would have your Windows PC, your Windows phone, and your Xbox 360 plugged into your TV. And these would all then connect to each other. Now, Microsoft have done demos of games, XNA and Xbox Live games, where you're sitting at work, and probably shouldn't be sitting at work playing games, but you're sitting at work and you're playing a game, an Xbox Live game, on your work PC. End of the day, you then finish up, you take your phone with you, and you head off and get into a bus or a train or something. while you're on the bus or the train or some sort of public transport, I'm assuming, because I don't think playing games in your car is such a good idea, especially if you're driving. But while you're sitting in your public transport, you take out your Windows phone, you load up the game, and you continue playing from where you stopped the last time you played on your PC. It syncs with Xbox Live. You get home, you turn on your Xbox, maybe you shout at your Xbox using Kinect, wave at it or whatever, it doesn't really matter how you turn it on. You turn on your Xbox, you go into the game, and the game loads from where you left off while you were on the bus. And that's all well and good. I love this idea because everything is connected. I don't play an awful lot of games, but I can see where it could be handy for social media, for the likes of Twitter or Facebook, or for reading books. It'd be actually fairly interesting for reading books. Don't know how reading a book on an Xbox would work. Movies, TV shows, even better idea. You're in the office, you have an hour for lunch, you're sitting at your desk, you're having your sandwich, and you decide to watch the latest episode of CSI. So you start watching CSI, which is probably not a good idea to be watching CSI while you're having your dinner or your lunch, because it can be a bit gory. But anyway, you watch CSI, you get onto the bus, you're only halfway through it, you finish up work, you get onto the bus, you watch the rest of it. You get home, you turn on your Xbox, it knows, right, you've already watched that. That was the last show you watched. Here's the rest of your shows in your TV queue that you should probably want to watch. You pick something, you watch it, and that's it. On your commute into work the next morning, you can maybe catch up on another TV show that you watch weekly or something like that. I like this idea. But I've thought there's more screens in my house that I think should really be connected. And the first one that came to mind was the watch. You can buy smart watches now that will talk to your PC using, or talk to your phone using Bluetooth. The iPod Nano is a perfect, well, the iPod Nano doesn't talk to your watch, but or doesn't talk to your phone, but the iPod Nano is the perfect size for a watch. I mean, Apple released this, and shortly after, people started releasing watch straps for it because it worked perfect. And I can see, I was actually disappointed the last time they revved the iPod Nano that they didn't release an SDK for it, and they didn't release an SDK, and they didn't include Bluetooth on it, and that was a big disappointment. Oh, okay, there's a truck sliding around a place from behind me, I can hear, so let's hope it's nowhere near me. I'm about to go through a toll bridge, you will hear a beep. And I'm not gonna go into the beep because if I do, I will get sidetracked and beep, and that'll be it. Anyway, I was disappointed when the iPod Nano got revved and they didn't include Bluetooth and it wasn't an SDK, and there was no, I suppose Wi-Fi probably wouldn't be required, it might be overkill. But a docking station might come in handy, where you come home at night and you plug your watch, or you take your watch off and you stick in a docking station, and it syncs with your computer, whatever your computer may be, laptop, PC, Mac, doesn't matter. It will sync with your with your PC, and it'll automatically update itself and everything else. And the things that I think would be really interesting for what your watch should be able to tell you: it should be able to vibrate when your phone is ringing, because I carry two phones around with me. I don't necessarily have them in my pocket. I might have them in... well, I might not necessarily have them in my trousers pocket. I might have them in my jacket pocket, or I might have them somewhere else. So it might be handy for it, for the watch to vibrate and tell you, by the way, there's an incoming call. Or it buzz and tell you, you have a text message. Or some other notification. You have a meeting in 20 minutes. Something like that. Could be handy. I can see that being an interesting feature. Controlling your... I can see it coming in handy to control your phone as well. You might not want the iPod Touch to act as an iPod Touch. Stop calling it an iPod Touch. It's a watch. That's the beginning. The iWatch. Take the iPod Touch, but take out the music features. Or if you do have music features, give me a bit more storage. 4 gigs, 8 gigs, not enough. I listen to my music on my iPhone. I have 16 gigs of storage on it. I use Spotify most of the time for listening to music. So I'm either streaming it or I have playlists that I've downloaded. That's pretty much the way I roll when it comes to music. I can't believe I've just said that's the way I roll. Anyway, I'm confused. I'm pretty tired at the moment, so I'm waffling. Right, watch. Gonna want a watch that will connect to other things. So as I said, your phone buzzes to tell you you've got an incoming text message. You can look at it on your phone, on your watch. You might not want to reply on your watch. You probably want to reply with your actual phone. You might have canned responses, as in yes, no, maybe, in a meeting, call you later, something like that. You know, kind of the usual responses. Yeah, sure, why not? I don't know. You might have stuff like that. You could select one of these responses, hit OK, and then send it back. Same, you might not want to be reading email, but you might want to see how many emails you've got. You might want to see if there's urgent emails to be read. Same with phone calls. Your watch will tell you you've got a phone call. Yeah, I see that you probably won't be answering your phone by picking it up and sticking it to your head very often. I have a HTC... what am I running at the moment? I have a HTC Titan, the big one. It's the 4.7 inch display on the thing. It's a pretty massive phone, and it's one of those. I have answered it by picking it up and putting it to your head, but it's a bit large to be doing that. I have an iPhone 4. And that's kind of the right size for picking up and talking to somebody on the phone. But it's just one of those meh. Well, meh. What am I doing? Sorry, I'm indicating when I shouldn't be indicating. I thought I was going somewhere. Anyway, iPhone 4, okay, that's a grand enough thing to be talking on the phone with. But even when I'm talking on the phone with that, I more than likely have headphones plugged into it. I have a set of nice Bluetooth headphones from Motorola. I had a nice set of Bluetooth headphones. They decided to start doing wonky things. But when the phone rang, I was using them for talking. So I don't see this idea of taking your phone out. Your phone could be in your bag. It could be in your laptop bag. Be in a jacket pocket, trouser pocket. Doesn't really matter where your phone is anymore. As long as it's near you, and as long as it's got Bluetooth, you should be grand. But I see your phone, your watch telling you information. So that's my first extra screen. My second extra screen is the secondary laptop or the secondary computer. Now, for me, I'm kind of slightly odd in that in my room at the moment on there are three machines, and there's another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's another 6 full machines, some of which are full on servers that I also have in my house. My main workstation is a dual processor, quad core, hyper threaded Xeon. It's a Nehalem chip. There are two Nehalem chips. It's got 12 gigs of RAM and runs a copy of Windows Server. I've got that plugged into two 20-inch Dell widescreen monitors. My secondary machine sitting on my desk is a Mac Pro, which is a dual processor, dual core. It's got 12 gigs of RAM as well in it. Both machines have the Western Digital Raptors, the Godbox, as it's called, the dual quad core Xeon, has two Velociraptors, two 300 gig Velociraptors in RAID 0. The Mac Pro has two 73 gig Velociraptors, or they're just standard Raptors actually, in that one. But when it comes to PC power, when it comes to workstation power, I'm not the guy that should be kind of the, well, I'd like to be the poster child, but I am completely out of it when it comes to power and machines and everything else. But what I see, what I'm thinking is that the normal person would have a high enough spec machine in-house. Something like the new iMac is high spec machine. 24-inch iMac is either a quad-core or a 6-core i7 processor. Or the 27-inch. I think it's a 27-inch. The big iMac. It's either, you can either get a quad-core or a 6-core hyper-threaded i7. Most, well, a good few desktop PCs are i7s or i5s and are high spec. And I can see people wanting something like that for their desk at home with a nice big monitor or two where they can do real work. And by real work, I mean if you're out and about and you're shooting on a digital SLR, you don't want to be copying those photos to your iPad and looking at them, because one, my digital SLR shoots photos at 24 to 25 megabytes a piece of a 5D Mark II. My photos are 24 megapixels and the photo size is, as I said, between 20, I think the smallest I've seen them was 18 or 19 meg. And they're usually between 24 and 25 meg a piece. So I don't want to be waiting while I'm trying to copy photos to an iPad slowly while working with photos like that. Now I know I could be shooting JPEGs, but even the JPEGs on that camera is still shooting 5, maybe 6 megabytes each. So to copy them and to be trying to process them on an iPad is not possible at the moment. If Apple had done what Apple were expected to do and released a quad core iPad this year, Apple's announcement was last week or the week before last. I'm recording this on the 13th of March. God only knows when it'll actually be released. So at time of recording, the first two still haven't been released. So if Apple had released a quad-core iPad, maybe it would have been possible to do photo processing of 24 megapixel photos. I mean, they did release iPhoto for the iPad, so it could be possible, but even still, you're now limited on files, or you're now limited on storage, on bandwidth, and everything else. And it's an awful lot easier to be processing an awful lot more photos on a PC, even with something like iPad, or even with iPhoto, or Aperture. In the Apple example, you'd be going for probably Aperture, or Lightroom. In a Windows example, you'd definitely be going for Lightroom. I use Lightroom. I'm a photographer. I don't call myself a photographer, I call myself a geek photographer. I'm more into the geeky side of things. I like taking photos and playing around, but I'm not a professional photographer, full stop. I know I'm not a professional photographer. I like some of the photos I've taken. I like a lot of the photos I've taken. Other people might not think so much, but it doesn't bother me too much, to tell you the truth. Anyway, I don't think an iPad is the kind of thing you're going to be wanting to do a large amount of photo editing on. Photo editing on the road, well, not even photo editing, photo viewing on the road might not be such a hard problem, but photo editing, I reckon not so much on an iPad, not at the moment, and anyway. Same with video processing. Video processing is going to need an awful lot more power. On a quad core iPad, I don't think is going to have that power. My 5D Mark II shoots at a full 1080p, 30 frames a second. I think the files, 20 minutes, less than 20 minutes is going to weigh in at about 4 gigabytes, give or take. That's not going to be something that you're going to want to be trying to edit on an iPad. First of all, trying to get 4 gigs of video onto an iPad is going to be a bit of a pain. I don't know the exact speeds of the iPad, but I know I do have a CF card reader for the iPad, and I've tried importing, I think I took 10 or 15 photos a while back, and I tried importing them on the iPad. It took an age. I think it took about 10 minutes in total to import them. Might be an exaggeration, but I plugged them into my compact flash card reader for the PC and imported them on the Godbox in less than a minute, and was able to go off, and I had already, within the minute, it had generated full one-to-one JPEGs for previews. It had added keywords, and the photos were ready to be backed up and processed. Whereas with an iPad, not so much. So, as I said, viewing photos in the field, iPad would be great, but actually working with them, not so much. And that brings me to my point. I knew I had a point in here somewhere. You're going to want to have your main PC in the house, which has an awful lot of power and an awful lot of storage and a big screen for when you're doing major photos or video work. And you're gonna have maybe something smaller, a ultrabook laptop, maybe even a higher spec laptop, an iPad, something small, a Windows tablet, a Windows 8 tablet would be handy for that as well. But you're gonna want to have something small and light that you can bring with you, you can do certain bits and pieces for. But when you want to do real work, and as I said, I consider real work to be programming, photo editing, video editing, large documents in Word, you're not going to want to do that on an iPad with the touchscreen keyboard, or even want to do it with a not-so-touchscreen, a real keyboard. You're going to probably want to use a proper machine for that. That's where you're going to need your secondary machine. Or, well, in my case, as I said, that's your primary machine. Your secondary machine is going to be your smaller tablet type machine or laptop type machine. So that brings us to 4 screens at the moment. No, that brings you to 5 screens at the moment. Your, I suppose your secondary machine is, see, this is why the post was called 5 plus screens in the cloud, because you might not have a watch, you might not want the watch, you might not want the secondary machine. The other one that was the thing that I thought is the screen I'm looking at the moment, well, I'm not looking at it, but it's in direct view in the car, is my iDrive screen. Now, I drive a BMW, but my last car was a Honda Accord, and it had a big touchscreen display in the middle of the dash for the nav. And you could use that for listening to music and for climate control and everything else. The iDrive in the BMW, it's not touchscreen, but you use the iDrive controller. You have Ford have their Sync, I think it's called Sync, which is built into a lot of US Ford cars. I don't think it's been brought to Europe yet, so I haven't played with it. And there's an awful lot of these kind of, an awful lot of these ideas of having a screen that does something interesting in the car. And what I'm thinking is, why isn't that connected to the rest of your cloud, as it were? Why, when I get into the car, my phone already talks to the car for the Bluetooth. And I've added a secondary Bluetooth adapter to the car, which plugs into the back for the auxiliary. And the auxiliary, when I press play on my iPhone, I've actually got a secondary remote on my steering wheel that allows me to control my iPhone remotely. When I hit play, music comes and plays over the speakers through Bluetooth. Again, my phone only has to be in the car. Both of my phones only have to be in the car. Doesn't matter where in the car. And I can go off and I can talk. And I can listen to music. And it's all good. And it now gets to the point of, if your phone can connect to the car, why isn't your car asking your phone for more than just its address book and its contacts? I know the new connected drive in the higher end BMWs and the newer BMWs allows you to do certain bits and pieces like this. But what I'm wondering is, I want a system where when I get into my car goes off, has a look at my calendar and says, ha, you have a meeting which is across the city centre at the moment. You're in Tala, which is outside the city centre. And you want to go to such a place in the IFSC in the city centre. Your phone should be out, or your car should be able to see that and then say, huh, right, the best way to get to your meeting at the moment is this direction through the navigation. Would you like me to get you there? And you should just say yes, and it'll give you directions. If traffic gets bad on one of the routes as you're driving in, it can say, ha, recalculating, hold on, take the next left, because traffic up ahead is fairly bad. Somebody's decided to park on the road, or somebody's after finding the back of a truck, or a truck is after finding somebody. Either way, doesn't matter. Don't use that road. Change lanes and go this way. Even if it's not able to reroute you, even if you're stuck, it should be able to pop up and say, huh, you're stuck. It's going to take you an extra 20 minutes to get to your destination. Would you like me to send an email to the people on the invite and say to them that, sorry, I'm going to be late? I know the Windows phone has that option. If you're going to be late, you can send an email to the invitees of the meeting and tell them, no, sorry, I'm going to be late. Your car should be able to do that as well. So, I'm just about home. Now, in my post, I mentioned the Xbox. I said the Xbox, I like the idea of the Xbox. And don't get me wrong, I have an Xbox, I have a PlayStation 3, I have a big TV. Haven't used them in a while, but I have them. And the thing is, I think the Xbox is an extremely handy piece of equipment. And everybody should have an Xbox. But I think you should probably have two, maybe three. And if you listen to my last podcast on the Ultimate Media Center, I mentioned that you'd have something in your house that would record an awful lot of TV. I see the Xbox as being the perfect client for that media server, where it would go off, your Xbox would basically go and pull content from your media server. As long as it's on the same network, or even it doesn't need to be on the same network, it could be on a VPN network. If your parents have, if you have this in your house and your parents are connected to your house through VPN, or your friends or whoever, maybe it should be able to work over VPN as well. I don't know, this is just spitballing ideas here, but the Xbox is the perfect client for that. And obviously everything being stored in the cloud means you lose your phone, you lose your tablet, your house burns down, your Xbox and your PC and everything else is gone. As long as you have backups of your important stuff, they should be in the cloud, your photos, your videos, maybe not your TV shows, they should be able to pull, they should be library items. You should be able to go to the Zoom Marketplace or whatever it's called these days, the iPhone or the iTunes Marketplace or whatever. You should be able to go there and find the episode of the TV show you want to watch. Hit play and it should just play. That should be it. You might not even need this Ultimate Media Center. At the moment, the Ultimate Media Center is handy now because content providers haven't realized that we want cheap access to content, and if it's coming streaming over the skies for free, it should be free, or it should be at least cheap. But that's another story for another day. So your 5 plus screens on the cloud, Xbox, your Xbox plugged into your large screen TV, your watch, your phone, your main workstation, or your main home PC. In my case, it's a workstation. Some other people might just want a standard PC. You're gonna want probably a secondary PC, tablet, laptop, doesn't matter what it is, and your car. And then everything, as I said, connected with the cloud somehow. Internet should be internet, I think somebody said, is a European human right at this stage, so everybody should have it basically. Anyway, with that, I've just arrived home. It was a nice quick trip, nice quick drive home. So I've just arrived, and I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks for listening. Leave comments, questions, etc. on the podcast website. I'll be podcast.tiernanotool.ie, TIERNANOTOOLE.ie. And if you have any questions or anything else, give me a shout. Thanks for listening, and till next time, have a good one. Bye now.